Morning, Church.
I am going to read from 1 Corinthians 12, which is on page 1783 of the Pew Bibles. But before I do, let's just pray. Heavenly Father, as we listen to Archie's teachings today, may our hearts be open to hear those teachings and to mull on them and meditate on them and bring into action those teachings in the coming week. Amen. Now, about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one, just as he determines. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts. Here endeth the reading.
Well, thank you, Nikki, for reading that so well and also for leading us in prayer. As we turn to the Word of God. Many of you, faces I recognise, although names are starting to become fleeting for me, because I've preached here a few times in the past, and so it's great to be invited back here today. My name's Archie Poulos. I teach at Moore College. I think my great claim to fame in this area is that my nephew was born just on this side of Tom Ugly's bridge on the side of the road. And so his parents had the name of either calling him Ugly or Blake, and so he got the second one. And so It's great to be here with you today. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the passage that was just read to us from page 1783. It's a terrible set of years that we've gone through, isn't it? We've endured COVID, we've had the bushfires, we've had the floods, and I'm sure that there are things I don't know about, but you have journeyed together with personal tragedy as well. And even though those things are happening, I don't know about you, but I feel a lurking and ever-darkening menace that is going on in our world, and it's that menace of division. Because I think division is actually the word that describes our world in this last year. There's the referendum. No matter how you voted, there's division, isn't there? What we're sadly seeing in Gaza at the moment is horrific, but it's division. What's happening between Ukraine and Russia, the same sort of thing. And you look at the United States and you see the divisions that are going on there, but then you look into Australia and you see the divisions that are going on there, and you look into the school playground and you see the divisions that are going on there, and even in our own families, there is division. There is division everywhere. And I've got to say, at least to me, sometimes that feels overwhelming. And I'm here this morning to encourage you from God's world that while this is the way our world is, God has provided a much better way to be. And he will do it here at Blakehurst Anglican Church. And through Blakehurst Anglican Church, God is going to undo those divisions that are so natural to our world as well. Because God has promised that he'll undo those divisions. And what he promised, he always gives the ability to enact. And so as you look around you, each other here this morning, it seems as though it's impossible, isn't it? What are us, the 40, 50 people here at Blakehurst? How is God going to use that to change the world? Well, it takes nothing less than the divine intervention of God. He is doing it in each one of you. He is doing it in your gathering here. And through this, he is reaching his world as well. The Spirit does his supernatural work, but often in ways that are just so normal and so overlooked. And so if you have a look at the Corinthians, they and we are in the same category. They were all once led away by mute, dumb, unspeaking idols. Now, in the ancient world, you can see the picture I've put up there. I'm Greek, and so I like these sort of things. But they had their pantheon of gods. They had Zeus and Apollo and Hermes. They were fake gods, and yet they sacrificed people to them. They just led astray by them. That is what our world is like. When we have no knowledge of the true and living God, we make up other gods. And we look at these ones now in the 21st century and laugh at them. But it's still with us today. We have big companies that people give their lives to, and they sacrifice their families on the altar of their career progression. And these things don't exist like the gods of the ancient worlds either. They're just names. Three letters, they don't even exist. ANZ, BHP, CSR, NAB, CSL. You get the idea, don't you? Don't think that we in this world don't follow mute and dumb idols. We all do. That's what every human being does. And then intervenes the Spirit of God. He has granted to you that ability, that insight, not to follow after mute idols. What he has done to you, if you're a Christian here this morning, is you say, Jesus is Lord. Not CSR is Lord. Jesus is Lord. If you can say that, it is only because of the divine work of the Spirit of God, because that is the way our world operates. And yet you can say Jesus is Lord. It's not as if it's some sort of magic incantation, you know, Jesus is Lord, that somehow it works. What you're saying when you say Jesus is Lord is you are surrendering your life to him. And I've got to say to you this morning, because I don't know you all, if you haven't done that, stop serving mute idols. And if you have done that, it's only because of the supernatural work of the Spirit of God. So the person sitting next to you is the work of the divine, supernatural Spirit of God who has now invaded their very being. And if you're a Christian, it has now invaded your very being as well. That's what I mean by what God is doing supernaturally is just ever so normal and so easy to overlook. But if you can say Jesus is Lord, he has moved you from being dead to being alive. It is actually the greatest event that can ever happen in your life. And the opposite's also true as well. You cannot say Jesus is cursed if you have the Spirit of God. You cannot deride our Saviour if you belong to him. He will lead you down a fundamentally different path to that. Isn't that wonderful? That work of the Spirit of God is actually so magnificent, even if it is overlooked and understated. But if God's work, that's what verses 1 to 3 says, but if God's work were to end there, where that could lead us is just to being selfish. Because God looks like he's just focused on you. I can say Jesus is Lord. It's all about me. And of course, that's been the problem through 1 Corinthians. I know you've just done chapter 11, but in chapter 11, with the Lord's Supper, that great idea of being in fellowship, being in relationship with each other, and what's happening at the end of 1 Corinthians 11? People are coming in, stuffing their faces with the food while others are going hungry. That can be the danger if it's just about every individual having the Spirit of God. But Paul now says that what the Spirit of God does, in fact, what God, the divine Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit do, is much, much greater than that. Let me read to you verses 4 to 6. So, you're a Christian. The work of God's Spirit is that you can say Jesus is Lord. That's the personal work. Now listen to verses 4 to 6. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it's the same God who is at work. Do you notice those three sentences? You can see it there on the slide behind me, what they've got in common. Different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. Different kinds of service, but the same Lord. Different kinds of working, but the same God. You see, on the left-hand side, there is all these diversity of gifts, of service, of working, but the source is the same. That is God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So you see, as you look around the abilities, we heard during the announcement time, you've got so many things going on here at church, haven't you? And in the wider community. The only way that can happen is by a diversity of gifts. And all those gifts come back to the same source, which is God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so here we have diversity and the same source. And what is the goal of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit working to give this diversity of gifts? It's there in verse 7. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. You see, the reason you have the gifts that you have is for everybody else's benefit, for the common good. Every one of you here in this congregation, therefore, has at least one gift given by God for the sake of the congregation. Now, I was trying to think of an image that would capture this, an illustration to make for you this morning, but I think the rest of the chapter is that image and that we saw in the kids' spot as well. And so here the diversity of the gifts that are given. I'll just read it to you. I'm not going to make much comment on it, but hear them. To one, there's given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of the tongues. You see that there's so many different things that are given to God by God to you as a group of people, all by the Spirit of God. And so he concludes in verse 11, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Can I say to you, this is a challenge for us, particularly those of us that are talented, because whatever gift you have has been given by God to be used for the common good. I'll tell you what the natural thing to do, the person who doesn't have the Spirit of God, is to say, look at the gifts I have. Everybody notice me. we parade ourselves and our gifts to the people round about us. That is a complete opposite of why the gifts are given. The gifts aren't innate to you. They're not about how great you are. They are given from God. So every gift that you have, do you stop and pause and say, thank you, God, for this gift? When you see the gifts that other people in the congregation have, do you stop and pause and say, thank you, God, that you've given this person this gift? That's what verse 11 is saying. Not for your sake, but for the common good. And then the image that Paul moves on to in verses 12 to 26 is that of the body, and it's regularly an image that's used in the Bible. And so you think about your body. Well, think about my body for a moment. I'm Archie Poulos. People see me at a distance in the supermarket and they yell, hello, Archie. Now, how do they know it was me from a distance? Well, I've got graying hair. I'm 175 centimetres tall. I'm largish build. I have a certain type of voice. All of that, I walk a certain way. All of those things contribute to them realising it's me, recognising it's me. But none of those is fundamentally me. If you just saw someone with grey hair, it wouldn't be Archie. If you just saw someone that was 175 centimetres tall, you wouldn't say it was Archie. But all together make up the body. And so therefore the body is an image of both unity and diversity, which you've already seen in the chapter. And for the body to function, it has to work as a unit, and the unit that has very different parts. And so here is the unity in diversity in verses 12 to 14. Just as the body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, we were all given the Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. See, unity and diversity, you get that, don't you? Our bodies are diverse and we are a unified body, but it's actually difficult to hold together. Here's the best picture I could get. Lego, when it's all the same, is really easy to use, isn't it? You just build your Lego things. But what happens, which is what happened with my children, you've got the Lego mixed in with the stickle bricks, that's mixed in with the string, that's mixed in with the, all of it together. It's actually very difficult to make it work. And so with such diversity as God has created in the church, how could it possibly be that we come together? Well, there's two warnings that the Apostle Paul gives here, two catchphrases of the dangers that we could face. And I suspect you've probably thought in your head one of these two in days gone by. So I want to go through them with you, because here is where the apostle gives us something to learn. The first catchphrase, which is the one there, I don't belong, in verse 15, it's normally the one that's felt by the person that's outside of the church life. Those of you that have come recently to church, those of you that feel you're just here to make up the numbers, some of you who feel other people do the ministry and I just receive it, it's the catchphrase of verse 15, I do not belong to the body. Or you could rewrite it in other sorts of words, I don't belong, or I'm not needed, I'm just baggage here, I make up the numbers, I am not important. If that's you, you've got to hear what the Apostle Paul is saying to you. Verses 15 to 20. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If there were all one part, where would the body be? And as it is, there are many parts, but one body. It is not accidental that you are here. It's not accidental that you have at least that one gift that is given by God. It is not accidental that you have been given that one gift by God for the common good. God has created the body just as he wants it to be. And the fact that you think or feel, I am unimportant, I don't belong here, I'm not needed, you've got to get over it. That doesn't stop you being part of the body. God has brought you here. God has gifted you for the sake of the body. You see, you live in a suburb with all sorts of networks and relationships that you have, and a suburb that desperately needs to know Jesus. And God has given you all at least one gift to reach this suburb. So I heard about Baldface Public School. We prayed a moment ago about it. We hear about the gingerbread houses. We hear about the Christmas carols that you've got on. We hear of all those things that were just acronyms, letters and funny words to me, but you're doing a whole lot of things. That's why you're all needed, because that's what God is doing. So while you might not be aware of the gift that God has given you, God the Father, God the Son and God the Spirit has given it to you. So do not think I am not needed. Do not think I've got nothing to contribute. Do not think I'm an outsider. Now, I'm not just being tough with you. That's what the Apostle Paul says. The other catchphrase is the opposite one, the second one there. It's the catchphrase that tends to be of the insider, the one who's been here for years, the one who is active in making this church hum, and who is satisfied in all that you have. And it's verse 21, I don't need you. We all have needs. We all need other people. And the person who says, look how great our church is, I can just do it all on our own, or we can do it all on our own, don't be deceived into that. It's really easy sometimes, isn't it, to have people come into your church who you think have got nothing to offer to church life. Repent from that. Everyone that God brings has been brought by God with at least one gift. As I was writing this week, it reminded me of a dear friend of mine named Tom. At the age of 3, Tom was, we don't use this language anymore, but he was declared to be a spastic. He walked funnily. His IQ would have been very, very low. And he was in our church all through my 20s and 30s and 40s. People ignored him. When we would share, we'd open the microphone sometimes and ask people to come up and pray, and you would hear people groan as Tom came up to pray. But Tom, every day, prayed for my disabled son until the day that he died. That is one of those great gifts of the body. No one would have paid any attention to Tom, but that God takes those things that look unimpressive and uses them. The fact that my son loves teaching little kids in Sunday school in part is the answer to Tom's prayer. And even now, Tom died a decade ago, but we drive past where he used to live and my son says, that's old Tom's house. So make sure if you have that arrogance that says, this person doesn't matter or I don't need you, repent from that as well. So I'll read you verses 21 to 27 so you can hear these things, this rebuke. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the foot, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honourable, we need to treat with special honour. The parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while the presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it, and if one part's honoured, every part is honoured. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. There you go. Make sure we take that to heart. I was just thinking then, your fingertip. You know, we saw before in the kids' spot, you know, the head is where you do all your thinking and that sort of stuff. And you think, the fingertip, what's that got to contribute to anything? Well, those of us that have those iPhone devices, the fingertip matters, doesn't it? No matter how big and how smart your head might be, you won't be able to activate your device without your fingertip. And yet, you don't even pay attention to it. That's the point that the apostle is making here. Now, this chapter, then, is all about the importance of everyone. That is, we are a body, and every one of us is needed. God has given to every one of us at least one gift, and that gift is given for the common good. in such a way that the body might be able to be complete and succeed in everything that it needs to do. And at the end of verse 27, that's what we're left with. But now in this last paragraph of the chapter, it seems like Paul is undoing everything that he has just said. It's almost as if he wrote verses 1 to 27, then went off and had a cup of coffee, forgot what he'd written and come back and so wrote something else. So let's have a look at this then in verses 28 to 31. So up to verse 27, you are the body of Christ and every one of you is part of it. Now in verse 28, and God has placed in the church, first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing and helping and guidance and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers? No. Do all work miracles? No. Do all have the gifts of healing? No. Do all speak in tongues? No. Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts. And so it's in verses 1 to 27, everyone is important, even those that you think aren't great gifts are given, extolled even more. And now he says, eagerly desire the greater gifts. What's going on here? Every person with every gift is important. But if that was all we had, then we would be just a collection of people that are using our gifts. What the body needs to know is, where is this body going? How do we work together? And that is what the greater gifts are. They, if you look at those gifts there in verse 28, what is first? First of all, a prophet, first of all, apostles, second prophets, then teachers. You see, the greater gifts are those of teaching so the body might know the direction to go. God, is, in his kindness, has not just given you gifts individually for the common good. He has given you his precious word, given us his precious word, so that we will know how we might best use these gifts. You see, these gifts of healing, these gifts of teaching are God's great gift that we might make it safely through to glory and might be used well as his body. And so I want to close by just asking you, why did God make the body this way? Why does the Spirit give such different gifts? And the reason is, you are here not as an accident, and the gifts given to you by the Holy Spirit are not accidental. It is for the blessing of everyone else. The blessings will be internal. There will be some gifts given to you that will help those of us that are grieving at the moment. There are some gifts given to other members of the church that will help explode the faith of other people here. But also, God has given this congregation, as small as it might be or as big as it might be, so that you might bless the people of Blakehurst. Is there a house in suburb 2221 that doesn't need to hear about Jesus? Some of you are older. You'll have the capacity to talk to older people. Some of you are of different ethnicities. You have an in to be talking to other people. Some of you have got the time to go and help with scripture down at Ballface. Some of you are in different sorts of clubs. There is the opportunity. God has given you at least one gift so that from this ragtag group of people called Blakehurst Anglican Church, God might reach this suburb and influence and change his whole world. So I talked about my fear of division as we started and the way that our world is so divided. Here is God's antidote. And don't be deceived into thinking the most important thing that's happening in today is the rain that's going on outside. The most important thing that's going on in the world is that God has gathered his body together, of which you are an example. He has gathered you together for the common good and has given you those gifts so that this body which has a common good might be able to bless and benefit the people round about us. Don't underestimate the gifts that God has given you. Don't underestimate each other. And don't underestimate the work of God in your lives. Please join me in prayer. Our Lord God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thank you so much for the strange way that you work in our world. We thank you that your Spirit has given to each one of your people at least one gift for the common good. Thank you that as he has endowed us with these gifts, so we might be able to build the body up, so that this world that we live in might bow the knee to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.